The time is 12:28 p.m., July 17th, or correction, 18th, and we will begin the at-large capacity building working group shortly.
I'll switch it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the At-Large Capacity Building Working Group on Thursday, the 18th of July, 2013. Please remember to state your name for the record and to speak slowly and clearly. Matt Ashoni for the record.
Thank you very much. Matt, this is Salnieta Tamanico-Omero for the transcripts. I'm not sure if there are people streaming in. Could we just please confirm? I apologize. We haven't started the meeting yet. Hi, Jolie. Hi, Oksana. Very nice to see you. Can you hear us? Testing if you can hear us. Type into the chat room if you can hear us. Jolie, it'll be great if you could put it on Skype that we're starting the session now, and if you could send the link. Okay, excellent. I'm just going to ask staff if they can hand out the two handouts. The first one is a draft survey, which is version 3. Thank you very much to Oksana and to Satish and Fatima for coming up with the draft survey. The second handout is our fact sheet, which contains useful and relevant statistics pertaining to capacity building. And the most recent update as of today. Now I'm going to ask Matt if he can put up the PowerPoint presentation. We'll just go through. Excellent. So for those who are streaming in, we warmly welcome you to this session. I just hope you can see the screen. Okay. Matt, could we have the next slide, please? Thank you. Okay, this is what we'll be doing. We'll be looking at the overview of At Large, and the fact sheet for those who are in the room should be relevant and useful, where we'll go through the statistics, geographical review, ALS penetration rate, the language variation across ALSs, geographic classifications, and then we'll discuss the draft survey, and which has already been uploaded on the wiki, and then we'll talk about our action, our things that we need to do post-Durban. My apologies, I'm just seeing for those in the room who are connected to Adobe, they have some kind of message that the meeting has not yet started. But from what I'm seeing on the screen, the meeting has started, so whoever's in charge of the technical aspect can please.
Hi, this is Matt Ashoni for the record. Yes, the meeting has started. It is being recorded, interpreted, and everything is fully live. I don't see the comment you noticed, but I'll look into everything and I'll double check.
Thank you very much, Matt. Sala Tamanico-Omero for the transcript. Okay, so you can see on the slide the ALS growth rate over the years. So from 2003 to 2013, you can see for the different regions how they've grown. And so what we'd ask you to pay attention to is the year. And if you look at 2003, for instance, you have like for one of the regions, I think that's it looks like Europe from here, like you've got five. And then, and so you see how there's a general trend that ALSs seem to be growing. But you can't read this graph until you look at the penetration rate, because whilst it appears that Africa has a much higher growth rate, you need to look at the penetration rate too. So I'm going to ask Matt if he can move on to the next slide. As you can see, the slide shows that AP Rallo has 31 ALSs within its region. And of those 31 ALSs, the 31 ALSs are in 17 countries. And we've also recorded countries that have CCTLDs who are part of the CCNSO community. You might be wondering why we're doing this, why we're measuring these indicators. We're measuring these indicators because it'll be relevant to us when we'll be when we'll need to roll out joint projects where we'll require certain expertise to facilitate and to resource our members. So you will see the total countries within the Asia-Pacific region are actually 74. And if we're hitting 17 countries already, that means we have a penetration rate of 23%. So that's how we're measuring. And so you can see the statistics for Afralo, for Lakralo, for Naralo, and for Uralo. So you will see that at the moment, the highest penetration rate seems to be coming from the Latin American Caribbean region. So congratulations, Latin American and Caribbean Regional at Large Organization, Lakralo, for the fierce outreach and engagement that you've been doing. So when you see this this level of statistics, it puts into context some of the things that the Rallos were actually talking about in terms of their strategies and their outreach. So hopefully this will allow Rallo leaders and Rallo executives to be able to look at mechanisms, existing mechanisms, and identify whether things are working or not, or how they can be strengthened. If we could move to the next slide, please. And if anyone needs handouts, they're available, so just please raise your hand and somebody from staff can give you the two handouts. Here you will see the CCNSO penetration data. So in the African region, which is the Afralo region, we have 54 countries that have we have 54 countries, and 29 countries that have CCTLDs are actually part of the Afralo region. And then you see the Asian Pacific region, 74 countries, and you have 40 countries that have CCTLDs that are within this region. And the same can be said for the rest of the regions, Europe, Lakralo, and the European region, the Latin American Caribbean region, and also the North American region. If we could move to the next slide, please. This next slide shows you language variations across these regions. So here you will see that you've noticed from a few slides ago we had mentioned the different ALS penetration rates across the at-large community. And these are the spoken languages. These are the languages that are actually spoken by communities that make up the ALSs, that make up the global at-large community. So you see Armenian is spoken, Bulgarian is spoken, Catalan, Dutch, French, English, Finnish, French, German, and so forth. So you'll see that the highest language, preferred language used is English, which is 35. The next one is German. Sorry, the next one is French, which is 11. And then you have Spanish following at 10. This is significant because to be able to guarantee participation, we need to know how our ALSs communicate. And so in case you're wondering, this was actually populated by the Rallo reps themselves. If we could move on to the next slide, please. If you look at the geographic classification, I won't go into detail. There are handouts that are available. Whilst we were populating the spreadsheet, we'd noted that there were that there were distinct distortions in terms of categorizations. I suppose the geographic review committee, they're handling it, and they have a final report, and they have a meeting which is being held simultaneous to this meeting where they're discussing this. But as far as at large is concerned, these are what we've come up with. And you'd note that some of the ALSs have difficulties being classified under one region. For example, Armenia, and we have two ALSs in Armenia, they prefer to be classified under Europe, but according to ICANN's categorization, they fall under AP RALO. So it poses significant challenges in terms of access to resources. For instance, whilst you're under AP RALO, one would ordinarily assume that the regional internet registry that would be of relevance would be APNIC, but in fact, for Armenia, it's RIPE NCC and that sort of thing. Likewise, you have ALSs within the African region who have access to RIPE NCC or to AFRINIC. So these are serious issues. And context is important, because context shapes meetings. It's important for RALO executives to be on top of the data, to be on top of the information, so that they know how they can coordinate the resources and which RIRs to actually ask. Because we can't say that just because you're from Africa, your RIR is AFRINIC, or just because you're from the Caribbean, your RIR is LACNIC, because in some of the Caribbean countries, the relevant RIR would be ARIN, and so forth. So this is why we're looking into geographical classifications, in case anyone is wondering. The other reason why we wanted to look at geographic considerations and classifications is because we wanted to know if there were face-to-face trainings already available, things like network operator group meetings in those regions. So geographic classification, again, is critical. If we could move to the next slide, Matt, please. And we've noted these are territories where the UN region do not match the ICANN region. Please ignore Bouvet Island. No one lives there except for penguins. If we could move on to the next one. Thank you, Matt. Okay, in terms of the capacity building working group, we're pleased to say that we have, for those who've just entered, please could you raise your hands if you don't have the handout yet? Okay. So staff is going to come to you and give you the draft survey as well as the draft fact sheet. Some of the information is not contained there. So in terms of the subgroups within the capacity building working group, we have the online, and we also have the face-to-face, the content, the social media, and the survey. What we did as a capacity building group is we recognized that we need to focus on specific things and identify considerations for the purposes of addressing issues of capacity building within at large. If we could move to the next slide, please, Matt. Before we move on to this slide, does anyone have any questions or comments to make at this point? Thank you, Matt. Please.
Hi, this is Matt Ascioni. For the record, we have two comments from a remote participant. They're from Oksana Prihoko. Her first comment is, please don't tell me that Europe has 79 countries. Her second comment is, the Council of Europe has 47 members, including Armenia, Georgia, and Azerbaijan, but not Belarus.
Do you want to read the second comment before we...
Sorry, this is Matt for the record. The second comment was, the Council of Europe has 47 members, including Armenia, Georgia, and Azerbaijan, but not Belarus.
Salah Tamanikomaro for the transcripts. One of the things that we didn't go into detail when you were seeing our geographical considerations is that as far as ICANN is concerned, it counts countries and territories. So the additional numbers would be countries and territories. So, for example, if I were to say the Pacific has 22 countries, that's wrong. It actually has 22 countries and territories. 16 are independent nation states, each have voting capacity in the UN, but the territories do not have the equivalent. So the UN classification and the ICANN classification are completely different. And territories, as far as geographical regions are concerned, they can have their own CCTLD. For example, American Samoa is an American territory within the United States of America, but it has its own CCTLD.AS, which is managed by the government of Samoa, which reports to the U.S. and that sort of thing. So you can see that it's not there's no clear lines, but I hope that explains it. Yes, Satish, please, go ahead.
Satish Babu for the transcripts. I also have a comment on the languages that you provided in your survey. I would say that at best these are working languages because South Asia has about roughly 25 to 28 languages, but it only comes up as English in this. So if you're considering the end user, I suppose you'd also highlight the diversity. Thank you.
Thank you, Satish Babu. Salnieta Tamani Karamaro for the transcripts. That is a very important point that Satish just made. If you notice the languages that were put up, we've identified what the languages are, and this is what the RALOs came back to us in terms of what they populated on the wiki in terms of what's spoken readily. And so those are the numbers there, which is why one of the things that we will do and that we have been working on is to roll out a survey to identify primary and secondary languages spoken. So, for instance, let me give you an example. In Armenia, Armenian is spoken, Russian is spoken, English is spoken. But when we roll out the survey, we're asking them to give us feedback, and I hope the ALSs are listening, and if you're not listening, that in time you will read the transcripts. That it is very important that you, when you're filling in the survey, that you communicate to us not only what the main language, what the first language is in terms of primary language that you communicate in, also identify the secondary and the tertiary languages. So if we run out of brochures, so if your main language is Armenian and your second language is Russian and then you have English, if we run out of Armenian or Russian brochures, at least if there's surplus in terms of English brochures, we know to move them to your region and that sort of thing. So there are logistical and practical matters in relation to language. And it's still critical that even though we can identify from the ALSs because we know from our data where they're located and we can assume what language is spoken, it's still critical to ask them specifically. Does anyone have any other questions at this stage? I can see that Sirinush has just arrived, so if she could please have the two handouts. Does anyone else need the two handouts? Any other questions at this point from the remote participants? Yes, Sirinush, please.
Sirinush Vardanyan, for the record, just related to the language part. I think that not only in Armenia, but in all ALSs, English is automatically there. And I was filling that survey, and it was supposed to write the native language there. So maybe in the survey, it will be clearly mentioned what, if this is your native language, then what other language you would communicate in, and that at least for those who are feeling that will be clear that we can mention Russian and English as well, because it's for us Russian and English some kind of default can be also there like Armenian, but I think English is almost for everyone here is default because we communicate all in English. The problem probably is in stating clearly in the survey. Thank you.
Thank you, Sirinush. Fatimata, please.
Yes, thank you, Salah. Fatimata Cecilia, for the record. two points. One is regarding the language. I mean, it's true that the ALS leaders might be speaking English, but not all of the ALS speaks English. So that's one point. I mean, the other one is a question regarding Oceania. Do we have CCTLDs there? Do you know?
Thank you, Fatimata. Oceania is how the UN classifies the Pacific. So the Pacific, again, I mentioned that there are 22 countries and territories. Of those 22 countries and territories, I could be wrong, but as best as my memory serves me, most of those countries have their own CCTLDs. The only exception is Marshall Islands, which has been assigned .MH, but the government is currently undergoing discussions with ICANN Pacific President Save in terms of how they're going to be rolling out .MH. I hope that answers your question. Does anyone else have any other question? No? Oh, yes, Fatimata, please go ahead.
How did you calculate the ratio when you said Africa 30%?
Going to ask Matt if he could move back to the slide on the penetration rate, please. Nope. Did you want the CCNSO or the ALS? Okay, excellent. In terms of a penetration rate, how we calculated this, what we did was we simply indexed ALSs to countries. So, for example, 1774. I apologize. I've been up since 2 a.m. 1774, and that would give you 23%. Does anyone else have any questions in terms of penetration rates? Sure. Fatimata.
Fatimata again. So the penetration rate is about the number, is for the number of countries. So it's not, I mean.
Okay.
So we're trying to see how the region is represented.
Let me, yes.
By the number of countries.
Correct. Let me.
And not,
sorry.
So we're talking about here outreach and not enrich.
Sorry. Salata Manikamara for the transcript. The number of ALSs per country, penetration rate, there are various, several reasons why we want to collect that data, apart from measuring growth of ALSs and whatnot. Whilst inreach and outreach are two completely different things, there's a certain layer where they overlap. For instance, a robust ALS, once you have significant inreach, means an expansion of that ALS, being able to mentor possibly other ALSs. I'll give you one example. I saw Hong Kong, they've known to do phenomenal capacity building with, and they've created all kinds of trainings for not only for their members, but they've grown from just beyond Hong Kong to touching a lot of the Asian region. So you have the Net Mission Ambassadors Program. I think some of you may have seen them in Beijing when the youth hosted their conference. So things like that. So that's why we wanted to measure that data. Does anyone else have any other questions before we move on? Feel free, please, people at the back, don't feel like you're not part of this meeting. This is your meeting. Please, if you have any questions, just please raise your hands and come to the mic. And those who are fellows, please don't feel shy. This is your meeting. So if there are no other questions, shall we move on? Okay, thank you very much. Let's move on. Matt, please, if you can go to the second last slide. Right, where we're at now. What needs to happen now is we've got version 3 of the survey, which has been hosted on the wiki. The second handout that you've been given is a copy of that draft survey. It's not perfect, it's still draft, and we need your input. So if there are comments that you would like to make on the survey, we'll allocate perhaps 10 minutes for you to comment on that survey. Or if you would prefer, we can we'll give you the link with which you can populate your comments on the wiki. So I'm just going to ask Matt, if possible, if he has the short URL and put it into the chat room of the Adobe and on Skype so people can have a look at the wiki. So the floor is open for comments on the draft survey. Does everyone have the draft survey? If you don't, please raise your hands. Okay, whilst we're waiting for comments, very quickly, some of the comments that have come to me so far is in terms of number one in ALS details to remove the word official and put used. Somebody made that comment because some ALSs have face-to-face meetings aside from online meetings, and so different communication dynamics may occur. Wow, if there are no comments, we'll move on to the next one. So what we plan to do is, post ICANN Durban, I'm going to ask staff if they could make this an action item. Oops, sorry. Just trying to see that PowerPoint. Okay, whilst Matt, that's okay, whilst Matt is putting up the Adobe, he's going to be putting the short link of the wiki. For those who don't have access to At Large Wiki, pardon? The survey URL. That's okay, it can be done later. Okay, that's something that's going to be done later, so if you're interested in commenting later, you don't want to comment now, I'm going to leave a piece of paper over there where you can just put in your email addresses and I'll make sure that the survey link gets to you. But for the sake of time, because I know you're all wanting to go to the board meeting or have lunch for those of you who haven't had lunch, unless you want to comment on the survey. Yes, so, okay, there's one comment from Fatimata on the survey.
Thank you, Sarah. This is Fatimata for the record. Actually, it's not really a comment, but I just wanted to... I think that it would be good for people who are not involved in this group to understand better why you put out this survey, what is the objective.
You're absolutely correct, Fatimata, and I completely agree. Which is why I'm going to ask Matt if you could kindly bring back the PowerPoint slide. And that is why what we're going to do straight after this meeting, we're going to organize and host a call with the RALOs and with the ALSs. So this is where I'm going to really ask all the RALO chairs and vice chairs who are present. I'm glad to see Sirenushi's here and Fatimata. And please also communicate to your brother and your sister, RALO chairs and colleagues. The reason is this. When we host that call, seriously, when we host that call, it is absolutely critical that at least a representative from the at-large structure, the ALS, is present on that call. Absolutely critical, and I'll tell you why. And it's to address your concern, because we are going to be going into an in-depth explanation as to why we're rolling out the survey. So what we want to do is not just launch the survey, we'll be doing it on SurveyMonkey, but we want to be able to communicate with the ALSs why we're collecting this information. Because what we often find is if the ALSs feel that that's irrelevant, there'll be a disconnect, and they'll either not feel it, A, or B, they'll feel it half-heartedly, and it'll be just a waste of time. But we really want to hear from the ALSs. So I would really, really, I pray to you, Sirenush and Fatimata and the rest of the chairs and vice chairs, to please encourage all your ALSs at least to send a representative to be on that call. And I'm going to ask staff if they could put as an action item that we will be hosting a call to explain the rationale of the survey and to encourage them to participate. Yes, Sirenush.
Sirenush Vardanyan, for the record. Will it be somehow connected with the survey which is planned to be conducted for at large Atlas II?
Thank you, Sirenush. We have been and continue to be in constant collaboration with those who are preparing the Atlas survey. And Dev also happens to be on the Atlas survey. And yes. Oh, and Sirenush. Yes. So we feel, and also what I would really like to encourage those of you who are in Atlas and who are in this working group to ensure that there's minimal duplication as possible. So, Matt, if I could kindly ask you to bring back the second last slide. Oh, it's there. My eyes are just... Yes, Sirenush, please.
Sirenush Vardanyan, again, for the record. Please, just as a suggestion, maybe whenever this survey is finalized and the call for filling in the survey will go, probably, or before that at least, because there are some draft already for the survey within Atlas too. So maybe it would be good if you can send the survey to Atlas II group to say that this is what we are planning to do and this is the deadline for putting this online and putting on the goal. So please compare with what you are already trying to do, because after Durban, that survey also is planned to come to the life. So would be good if we communicate on that prior to posting this. Thank you.
Salah Tamanikamara for the transcripts. Thank you, Sirenush. I'm going to ask staff if they could make that action item number 2, mm-hmm. where Atlas members who are present in the capacity building working group ensure that there's cross-collaboration between the two groups and that to minimize duplication. Some wording to that effect. And just for the record, the draft survey as it is already on the wiki and open for comments. If we could move on to the next point. Right. Jolie, are you still there? You could indicate in the chat room if you're still there. Excellent, Jolie. Jolie looks after one of the sub-working groups, and Oksana and Satish look after the survey, and they've done an excellent job in bringing, and with Fatima, in bringing us the version 3. What we're going to have to do, guys, and this time I'm addressing all the members of the various sub-working groups, we really need to accelerate, step on the accelerator. And also I would like to ask the RALO chairs and the RALO vice chairs, you have members within this working group, within the capacity building working group, who are in this particular spot. And as you know, this is an important thing for our region. So we'd like to ask you to offline, of course, you know, have continued dialogue and encourage them to continue to participate. And if you have views, communicate it to your RALO reps so that we ensure that your views are captured. And as you can imagine, on the wiki, there are tasks that already have been assigned. And all the tasks that have already been assigned that are on the wiki need to be completed. Certainly bidding of things that will need to be done. At this point in time, I'd also like to open the call for volunteers. If you feel, if you're sitting in this room, this is your first time you've ever heard about capacity building, or maybe it's your fourth time, but you feel that this is something that you would like to contribute to, please feel free to drop us a note. And thank you, Matt.
Hi, this is Matt Ashtiani for the record. We have
two questions and comments from the remote participants. The first one is from Jolie McPhee. Jolie asks, what aspects of social media do we need to look into?
Salata Manikamara for the transcripts. Jolie, I hope you can hear me. If you'd remember, each of the wikis have different tasks that are already uploaded on the wiki. You can correct me if I'm wrong, if the assignment was spelled out. If it's not, then I'll just repeat them here for clarity's sake, and also it'll probably benefit all of us. In looking at social media, we want you to look at considerations. What are some of the ways where we can actually maximize social media in terms of capacity building? Whether it's short videos, blurbs, that sort of thing. How can we use Facebook or Twitter to address the issue of capacity building? So anything and everything to do with capacity building, where social media can actually, be utilized, look into all potential considerations. So we don't want to box you. Does anyone else have a point to make on that note? Yes, Dev. Thank you, Dev.
Thank you very much, Devan Antilakshmi speaking. One of the key action items from coming up, culminating in the ICANN Toronto meeting, was for the technology task force to come up with a social media strategy, and we've evaluated several tools by which information can be disseminated over multiple networks, Facebook, Twitter, although it has not been done, at LinkedIn. What was decided on, and I believe it's already started. Staff is already circulating information related to the that's been posted on the ELAC announce list. The challenge is, of course, is not so much a technology issue, but in terms of what content can also be shared on social media, and more importantly, who exactly will curate such information that it can be packaged in such a way that is, easy to digest and so forth. That aspect, it's not a technology issue. There's somebody that needs to curate that information, and perhaps this is what the capacity building working group can try to do.
Thank you, Dev. For those of you who are not aware, Dev is actually one of the key members of the steering committee. He's a leader of this working group. Thank you, Dev. Yes, please, Sintra.
Thank you, Salah. This is Sintra Suknanan. Perhaps this question is for Dev or for you. I'd like to know a little bit about the timelines of this working group, specifically when we think that the survey will be posted, when the results will be compiled, and when follow-up action will be taken based on those results. That is, when capacity building based on the results would take place. Because I think it's significant to note that if there's too much of a lag time between the results being compiled and that follow-up action, that the results will change and the needs of the community will change.
Thank you very much, Sintra. I'm going to ask staff if they could actually note that as an action item, which is to ensure that timelines, no gap between when the survey results are harvested, when the analysis is done, and when capacity building is rolled out. Just for your information, post-Durban will be putting out fresh timelines, so to answer your question. But in terms of one of the things that we're estimating at this point to do is to test out some of the considerations that the sub-working groups come up with to see what works and what doesn't. So when we put out a long-term rollout strategy, it's very clear in our minds what the plans are. And yes, Mr. Satish Babu, you have the floor.
Thank you, Satish, for the transcript record. I had one point regarding the social media application. I think we have to differentiate between content delivery, which is the central focus of capacity building, with meta information. And I think that Twitter or Facebook may be more useful for spreading the information about how content is going to be delivered and not for content delivery itself. These are not perhaps suited for content delivery. And for that, you already kind of listed a few methodologies and tools by which you're planning to deliver content. So I would recommend that we certainly must use social media, but it's more for disseminating meta-information rather than delivering content itself.
Thank you very much, Satish. Matt, yes, you have the floor.
Hi, this is Matt Ashioni for the record. We have a comment from Oksana Prihoko. Oksana writes, the results of the subgroup on face-to-face meetings will depend on the result of the survey.
Salata Manikamara for the transcripts, yes. Satish and Oksana, you're both right. If I could please point you to the draft survey as it is, if you look at 5.1, that's on page 2. You will see that in 5.1, on page 2, the very first paragraph, we've listed a few things where we're asking the ALS what they want capacity building in, and so they have the opportunity to tick or not. One of the things we're asking is, do you want to strengthen participation of ALS within at large? Do you want to enhance effective engagement with RALOs? Do you want to cultivate interest or understand the rules of procedures or policies, mentoring, communication? So I think it's important to note that when you say capacity building within at large, there's a diverse scope. And so that's and so based on that, that's going to determine which tool will be utilized to make it effective. So very quickly, if we could just jump back a few slides to go to the different working groups. Nope. I think it would be the second last or the last. Keep going. Yes. So that's why you see we realize that the task is enormous, which is why we've chosen to focus on online, on face-to-face, on content, on social media, and on a survey. And what Oksana mentioned in terms of the survey results, until we harvest that and analyze that, and then we can know what is needed, what can be used. So I hope that answers your question. Does anyone from the back have any questions? Please feel free. Don't be shy. The mic's up here. Guys? Yes, please come up. Anyone after him? Just state your name for the transcript. And if anyone else is after him, just please take to the mic. Don't be shy. This is your meeting. Yes, please.
The name is Akimbo Adebumi from Nigeria. I have a suggestion concerning social media. I would love to volunteer in that aspect because I believe I'm a professional. And distribution of content on the social media, when synchronized with certain platforms, actually work hand in hand. You could actually run sessions on Twitter, apart from the fact that you could have a stable question and answer table on the Facebook platform. Then the question I have is, when you're talking of content, are you talking of breaking it down from the first phase to the last phase?
Thank you, Akimbo, Salata Manikamara, for the transcripts. We are absolutely excited and thrilled that you're volunteering to join our social media. Jolie, are you happy? Jolie made a call for volunteers, and he's dying to have more people join his sub-working group. So, yes, we're very excited to draw from the depth of your experience and to accelerate the objectives. So, yes, that's excellent. So I hope, Jolie, you've noted down his suggestion. He mentioned that we should be careful in terms of, in terms of synchronizing. You mentioned synchronizing patterns or something?
Can you that you can use social media also for delivery of content.
Right. That you can fully utilize social media for the delivery on content on Twitter and that sort of thing. Like create a storybook. That's probably what you meant. Yes. Okay, so that's going to be an action item for Jolie. Hope that's being recorded. Thank you. Any other comments? Yes, Satish?
I'm sorry. Sala, this is Silvia Vivanco for the record. Could you please repeat the action item as you would like it recorded? Thank you.
Okay, the action item is to add Akimbo to the social media sub-working group. So you can give them your email address and they'll add you to the wiki. And you can list, and then he can add his comments. Yes, Fatimata.
Thank you, Sala. Fatimata for the record. Just to call him Philip, it would be easier maybe to recall, to remember. Philip, his name.
Okay, thank you, Fatimata. Now, are you sure you don't want to ask a question? Okay. Okay, Satish has a few questions, and after that we will proceed to bring this meeting to a close. Satish.
Thank you, Sara. Satish Babu for the transcript. I wonder if whether we do have a hard stop for the deadline for delivering the capacity building exercise. The reason is Atlas II, of course, is focused towards the London summit, the ALS, and that is that seems to be, it has been articulated as a good milestone before which it may make sense to provide capacity building, because that is where all the ALS is going to come. And we may not have time to deliver content during those sessions or training, provide training. And it's been pointed out that it may be good if we can provide the capacity building before the London summit. So I was just wondering if there is a kind of a deadline that can be put down before this. Thank you.
Allah Tamani Kamara for the transcripts. Once we launch the survey, we will put it up for around 3 weeks. Does anyone have any suggestions whether it should be longer than 3 weeks or not? My suggestion is to keep it at 3 weeks. We have the call where we explain to the ALSs, give them 3 weeks to take their time, fill it in, and bring it to a close. Because dependent on us bringing it to a close, we can harvest the results and analyze them. Yes, Heidi, please.
Hi, thank you, Sala. This is Heidi. Can I just ask when the survey is going to be going out? What's the plan?
The survey is already on the wiki.
Okay.
So it'll be open for comments. We're opening it for comments now till after Durban, so let's give it a week for them to bring in their comments, and then we'll wrap it up.
So how long, I'm sorry, this is Heidi again, how long has it been open, and what kind of announcements have been made?
We've just edited, and the survey is now in version 3. The version 2 was on the wiki. We edited it in this meeting. So version 3 is on the wiki. So preferably 1 week for people to comment. And I know people are going to be flying back.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead, Heidi.
So, just to bring some sort of... I just want to point out, so the current version, the one that's absolutely the final one, that's now just been posted. Okay, so when will you be sending an announcement out? And to whom? And which tools are you going to be using? And also, if you hope to have any kind of mass response to this, then I highly encourage you not to expect that to happen within this next week when everyone's taking time off, traveling back home, and even the week after that. Okay, just to let you know, in the past, when surveys have been made to the entire at-large community, it's been detailed in terms of who we reach out to, which tools we use, and then there's often weeks and weeks and weeks given for them to respond. So I think I just encourage you to rethink this in order to get the best response.
I think we actually are on the same wavelength in terms of the survey has already been posted on the wiki. and we're making a call for comments. We had advised earlier, I think it's in one of the slides, that we'd be putting fresh timelines and deadlines are supposed to be delivered. Previous deadlines are supposed to be delivered by 15th August. When those by 15th August, we should also be posting out fresh tasks, fresh deadlines, and also launching or maybe closing the call for comments on the surveys so that we quickly amend them and launch them. So perhaps the launching of the survey could be somewhat 25th August, so to speak. 25th August.
Okay, this is Heidi again. So again, 25th of August is when you're going to actually launch the survey officially.
Correct.
For how many weeks?
The final draft. So between now and the 15th, so that's an action. So between now and 15th, the call for comments, sorry, no, let's make it 10th. 15th is probably too long. Between now and the 10th, we need to get people, if they want to, input into the draft survey.
I'm not following.
Yes, please, Fatimata.
Thank you. This is Fatimata again. Salah, are you going to call for comments after the call or before the call?
My apologies. The call for comments...
No, I'm talking about the call between the Rallos, the conf call between Rallos.
Oh, no. The call for the Rallos will be when the survey is ready. When the survey is ready, then we'll organize the call for the Rallos. Fresh timelines won't be decided today. I think I mentioned 20 minutes ago that fresh timelines will be posted post this meeting, but we'll definitely factor in all the considerations you're raising, Heidi. In fact, when I get back, I have to leave for Niue and Cook Islands anyway. So I'll be offline. They have terrible internet connections.
Yes. So just to remind you that, you know, this is Heidi again. This is a very global organization. Most of Europe will be away of August, so you're not going to get the best response from them. So, just maybe the group can go back and take a look at the calendar and really consider that you're going to need about a month or 5 weeks to get full responses. You're going to need staff coordination to send out reminders. Okay, so there just needs to be a much more coordinated approach to this, I would suggest.
Salah Tamaniko Emera for the transcripts. Just to be clear, when we'll develop the timelines, the steering committee will definitely be working closely with staff to ensure that we're in complete agreement on what those timelines are. And we also hear what you're saying in terms of the survey should be online for at least 5 weeks, and that's noted. I hope that's being recorded as an action item.
This is Heidi. Could you please state that exactly how you would like it recorded?
If the records could please reflect this, the steering committee will collaborate closely with staff to agree on timelines for the launching of the survey. Comma. The duration in which the survey should be live, comma, and the hard stop in which we will be closing and not receiving any further input. Next, para. Noting staff's advice that the European region will generally be busy in August 2013, that the working group is advised to take that into effect to ensure that maximum participation of ALSs is guaranteed. Dev, you have the floor.
Well, This is Deep. Just also to mention, because I think one of the earlier action items was that there will be a webinar to announce the survey and so forth. So you may need to tweak to, again, we're going to have to look at the timelines, I guess, obviously probably after this meeting anyhow. Just to mention that, obviously, during the Relo monthly calls during the next month, we can be, you know, ask for some time to be allocated to, instead of having announcing a webinar, potentially, we can just, on the Relo monthly calls, ask for some time to be allocated and just to raise awareness of the survey, and, you know, what the expectations are. Okay, so...
Thank you, Dev. Sala Tamanikomero for the transcripts. Just very quickly, the timelines will... Yes, I've already introduced myself. The timelines will constitute all of that, will constitute when the survey should be closed, when it should be published, when it's going to be harvested, when we'll be organizing the call. The call that I had mentioned that we will definitely facilitate with the regions will be before, will precede the survey being published. The reason for that is to ensure that they fully understand. But in terms of utilizing RALO meetings to create awareness about a looming survey, that is something we're going to ask those who are present from the RALOs here in this meeting to please communicate that to your RALOs. But I take your point, Dev. If you feel that there's a need for us to be physically present, to be remotely present on that call, then that's certainly something that we should consider. What are your thoughts, Dev?
This is Dave speaking. Thank you, Sala. Yes, once we've fixed our timelines properly and we're consistent on message.
Thank you, Satish.
Satish Babu for the transcript. As Oksana has pointed out on chat, the survey itself is not the end point. The other subgroups have to take the outcome of the surveys and then they have to work in order to reach the final recommendations. So my suggestion would be that the working group can perhaps over the next 2 weeks finalize all the different aspects of the survey, including the mode of delivery, the deadlines, the final shape of the, because some rationalization can be done on these questions. Maybe we can eliminate a few questions. And I must place on record Oksana's work, because she has actually done this almost single-handedly. So I think it's up to us to now also step in and support her. Seeing the discussion, I would strongly suggest that we have a deadline so that everybody is clear about, a bunch of deadlines so that everybody is clear about how we go about doing this. Thank you.
Thank you, Satish. Does anyone else care to make a comment? Anyone from the back there? If not, we're going to bring this session to a close. But before we do that, I would just like to let you know. We'll put a sheet of paper there if you're interested in joining the working group, or if you don't want to join the working group but you think you have some ideas on how that the working group could find useful. You could please leave us your email addresses, and we'll make sure that it gets to you, the relevant wiki. Or if you're interested in... Yes. So is that okay? So, staff, do you have any further comments to make? If not, we'll bring it to a close. Thank you, Heidi.
This is Heidi. Just I'm wondering if there's been any kind of coordination with the Atlas II survey working group with this survey, because I'm just wondering, you know, the ALSs don't get requests for surveys very often, and there's might be some sort of confusion between why all of a sudden they're getting two types of what seems to me rather similar surveys.
Thank you, Heidi. Sala Tamanikomero for the transcript, which is precisely why I would have rather we had a joint meeting. But to address that very quickly, before the Atlas, I don't know why I like saying Atlas, it sounds like Cutlass, Anyway, before the Atlas meeting, yes, I think it, I'm not sure, was it 2 days ago, was it yesterday? I had a meeting with Dharma because she had expressed that she would be the one who would be putting in a lot of effort in terms of developing that survey along with Eduardo and other Atlas members. And just to let you know, we had meeting. I had individual meetings with Dharma yesterday. We had a breakfast meeting today with some members of the Atlas, comprising of Dev and Eduardo. And again, just before this meeting, we had meetings again with Dharma and Dev and Garth, who's in Atlas, to just emphasize that, you know, as much as possible, that we would like to not duplicate the efforts and the work, because we don't want to bombard the ALSs too much. My difficulty, however, is this, Heidi. With respect to the number of questions that we're wanting to ask the ALSs, ours is specific to capacity building and not to an event. We fully recognize that the Atlas is very strategic in terms of that's the time when all ALSs are coming. But in terms of maximizing our extractions, you know, like, so it's really a difficult question. So at the moment we have seven questions, and I heard that their questions are far longer, but they've seen our questions, and I'm sure that they won't be duplicating. So it's just a matter of navigating. So it's, thank you.
Thank you, Sala. Devananta Lakshmi speaking. Well, it was unfortunate that the main coordinator for the Atlas II survey group couldn't be here in person, which was Wolf Ludwig. So, you know, so I think all of this is in, remember, all of this information will be new but to him. So, obviously, we need to establish good dialogue with both groups, the Atlas II survey group and the capacity building survey group. I think maybe the thing is obviously when we find our survey based on comments received, and I'm sure the Atlas II is also undergoing a similar exercise, you know, because I've seen some comments already being made just on the mailing list just this morning to Wolf's draft of his survey, which was posted sometime last night this morning. So obviously we can't do this now. We could take it on the way on our flights back to the back home from Durban and look at it. And maybe we should have some sort of perhaps even a joint meeting early mid August. You know, just to make sure that we're coordinated and so forth, and iron out which questions get pushed to which side of the survey of whose survey. It's a little bit more work in terms of coordination, but I think that's probably the best way forward.
Sala Tamanikamara for the transcripts. Very quickly, we really should have a discussion with Wolf, and one of the action items should be a discussion and, you know, facilitating a call, perhaps with the Atlas. Who all apart from Wolf? Is it? We don't want the whole committee or the whole group there, just the key people. So them along with the steering committee, just so we can flush this out. But just to comment, the survey is already on the wiki and it's already available for them to comment on anyway. Yes, Heidi, please.
So this is Heidi. Thank you, Sala. So perhaps, I mean, I don't see these as competing surveys. I see these as complementary surveys.
I agree.
So, Dev, as you were the person who was leading the analysis of the 2010 ALS survey, you perhaps may recall that survey, that questionnaire, had several various topics on it. So there was actually, I believe it was three parts. So perhaps that's something that the two groups might consider is sending out one survey that has the two sections, one for capacity building, one for the Atlas. Just so they're basically, so all the ALSs will be getting one link, one survey to fill out with two sections.
in Sala Tamanikomero for the transcripts. In fact, that's something we discussed this morning too with Eduardo, the having two parts, one being capacity building and one being Atlas and rolling it out. We don't have a problem with that. As long as the ALSs don't mind filling in more than 10 questions, we absolutely do not have a problem with that. But there was something. What did she... There was something that she mentioned. I'm just trying to remember.
Shall I? Okay. This is David Ann speaking. Just to follow what Heidi was saying, and I agree with... I think the surveys are complementary and not competing. So, in fact, I think we have to look at exploring the synergies here because, for example, when we ask for, like, especially I think when you want to update the name of the at-large structure, contact information, and so forth, you know, those are kind of potentially duplicating questions on both surveys. So it might be easier to consolidate the, you know, asking the, those kind of frame questions first, branch out, okay, here's the capacity questions, and here's the summit questions, survey questions, and so forth. So I think there's synergies to be explored here.
Thank you, Sala. Satish Babu for the transcript. I'd like to, I mean, I agree in principle for the joint survey, two-part survey, but we should perhaps have some understanding on, A, the number of questions and the type of questions, and B, who owns the data? Because this particular capacity building group, I don't know how far it's going to go, what is the horizon timeline and so on. Does it go beyond London? Also, the kind of use to which this is put to, so we have to have some clarity on who processes the data, you know, who owns the data, and so on as well.
Sala Tamanikomero for the transcripts. You know, the reality is this. We shouldn't try to do everything. We should just do what is within our mandate. And as far as we're concerned, the at-large capacity building has been mandated by the ALAC to look into capacity building for the ALAC. And so whatever that entails, that's, you know, clearly within jurisdiction. For instance, when we were doing the... Yes, Fatimata, we will get to you soon. When we were pulling up the numbers, one of the things we noticed very quickly in terms of the data that's on the RALO websites, and when we were cleaning up the things all over the place, some of the contact details, some of the email addresses have either expired or, you know, the person's not there anymore. I completely agree with you, Dev. Yes, there are synergies. And so if whoever is rolling out the survey first, if we're not having a merger in terms of the merged survey, whoever is rolling it out first, it just makes complete sense that the other party don't ask the same questions. And this is my concern. If we are going to be merging our survey, I'm noting that the questions by the Atlas is quite long, and that's something we really don't want to do. We have a narrow mandate that we just want to focus on in terms of, and we want to limit it to 10 questions. At the same time, I realize that the things that we will be harvesting for the purpose in, from the survey for capacity building will be useful anyway to the Atlas. So I'm not saying let's not merge, but I'm saying is, would Atlas be willing to stick to, you know, a few questions instead of like 50 questions and that sort of thing? Because we don't want to do that and skew our results. Remember, we want to roll out us anyway. Thank you, Dev.
Thank you, David Antelatsing speaking. And I understand where Satish is coming from, and I agree. It can be that we don't have to look at the results of, if you want to, if you're concerned about skewing the results, say between Atlas 2 and the capacity building, you know, the results don't, we don't have to see the results of the Atlas 2 survey, but the commonality part of it, which is name of the ALS, primary contact, that part is common. And actually, it'll help if you do want to merge the data and do some sort of analysis, but we don't have to do that all right now. So I still think the synergies can happen, and we don't have to look at the Atlas 2 results. In other words, as looking at capacity building, you don't have to look at the Atlas II results at all. But one useful thing is that we have a consistent primary contact and so forth. So we don't have differences. I think that's all.
Salatama Nikamura for the transcripts. We're after the same thing. Accurate records of where our ALSs are so we can effectively reach them, so we can effectively communicate to them. If there is no accuracy in terms of contact details, we know that when call for policy, for comments and policies are made, there's no way that they can contribute. So, yes. But to cut the meeting short, I'm so sorry, Fatimata. You had wanted to comment. Please, Fatimata, my apologies. For those of you who don't know, Fatimata is the chair of AFRALO. Please.
Yeah, Fatimata. Thank you, Sala. Well, I think Dave said much of the things I wanted to say, so I won't say much. Just to say that I agree with what Heidi said. And at the same time, I think we have to merge, because otherwise it's a matter of efficiency. They would not do it, period. And, of course, if it's too long, they would not do it either. So we have to work on a format that will suit them. And of course, that would allow us to extract the information we're looking for.
That's it. I'm in absolute agreement, Fatimata, and that's a very good point. So let's agree that this matter is going to be discussed offline and over the email, and we'll engage when we discuss with the Atlas leaders to see how we can reduce the duplication, to see how we can merge even. I would suggest merging. I'm sure we can work a way around that. The other thing, a point to note also, I'd like to communicate to the working group that I would also like at this particular meeting to step down as chair. I will be an ordinary member of the steering committee. In fact, I would like to nominate Dev to be chair of the steering committee. The reasons for that are this. I will be serving my last term as an ALEC member at the closure of the AP RALO annual general meeting. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to have been serving within the ALEC, and I'm delighted that Maureen Hilliard, who is a member of this capacity building working group, is going to be joining as ALEC. And I think also, Dev, with you as chair, it'll be good, because you're also on the Atlas and you can bring it to a close, and I will be behind you, fully supporting you in any way possible. Again, that's just a statement, formal statement that I've made. Again, I'll just put a piece of paper there for those who are interested to put their emails. If no, you can just see the lady with the lovely red jumper, give her your email addresses. But with that, we'll bring this meeting to a close. And Dev has his final
just
remarks.
Just to make sure that to discuss the synergies and collaborate, that is captured as an action item in coming out of this meeting. That's all, first of all, and that's it.
Sala Tamanikomor for the transcripts. And so that's confirmed, Heidi. I'm stepping down as chair. Effective immediately, and if I could nominate okay. Dev to be chair, and he'll be an excellent chair. And we'll fully support you. And it's been a real pleasure serving this community as chair of the Capacity Building Working Group. And I look forward to just being an ordinary member and still supporting the initiatives and the efforts. So with that, thank you, everyone. Sintra, yes, Sintra, you have the last word before we...
Sintra Suknanan. May I just propose, Chair, that you send an email to the working group making your recommendation and also leaving a one-week gap for any members of the working group to make objections or other recommendations.
Thank you, Sintra. In the interest of accountability, transparency, equity, justice, and all that is good and lovely, I agree. So with that, let's bring this meeting to a close. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jolie and Oksana and Fatima, for the awesome work that you've been doing behind the scenes. It's a wrap-up.
set this like, really? Yes. Should I like completely